from the legendary 77 WABC radio studios in the center of the universe, New York City. It's the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour, starring Rob Bartlett, with special guest star this week, Mr. Tony Danza. And now, here's your host, Rob Bartlett.
Thank you. You're beautiful. Thank you. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. I am Rob Bartlett, and this is my radio hour. We are very, very excited. This is our 12th show. And
a dozen.
It's a dozen. And it's a great dozen because we have a very, very special guest who I'm going to introduce to you in just a second. But first, I want to just get a little check-in with the cast here. Everybody have a good week so far?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good week.
Anything happen? Anything good? Anything?
I had my cat spayed.
You had your cat spayed?
Yeah.
All right. And that was good because...
They didn't find anything.
Okay, that's good. Well, I'm a little confused. I thought you were going in for root canal this weekend.
Yeah, I did that too, but I had the cat spayed and I had root canal and a drink with my dentist.
So the drink with the dentist, was that wasn't during the process, was it?
Yeah.
While he's doing the root canal, you're drinking?
Yeah, I bring wine when I go to the dentist. Why not?
What do you bring when you go to the proctologist?
I don't know. Bananas?
I was going to say, goes to check your prostate. It's just... I don't know, Andrew.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. But, you know, it's probably the best way of introducing you. Ladies and gentlemen, the Robbio Radio players, please welcome my co-writer, formerly of Saturday Night Live, and a man who brings wine to his dentist when he gets root canal.
He likes it.
Mr. Andrew Smith.
Hey,
musical theater actress, veteran of musical theater, and she also happens to be... what are you doing for Altar Boys now?
Oh, well, I'm going to be watching it as I'm not a boy, unfortunately. They didn't cast me.
Oh, okay. But didn't you do the... Like auditions for it?
Yes,
or something?
I ran the auditions.
You ran
for
the auditions.
It was a religious experience, Rob.
It was
a lot of beautiful men dancing for me.
And the fact that it's all the boys, that wasn't the religious experience you were referring to. Okay.
No.
As Miss Mandy Lee Pantyhose Thompson. We have actor, singer, composer, our engineer, and resident dreamboat, Mr. Steve Mecca, everybody.
So dreamy.
Yes, he is dreamy. New York theater actress. Writer, producer, and the curator of the Rice Krispie Treat Museum.
That's right.
Miss Whitney Johnson, everybody.
Hey,
now, the Rice Krispie Treat Museum is what now? What is it?
It's Rice Krispie Treats made out of Rice Krispies.
Well, yes, but...
It's small figurines. I like to lick them.
Oh, you lick the figurine, and you have your own little museum.
That's right.
And you lick the feet of the little figure.
Not the feet, the heads.
Oh, okay. Celebrity, I'm assuming. Okay. Do you have a...
Actors I aspire to work with.
Oh, okay. So was Tony Danza one of the Rice Krispie Treats would be the question?
I'm not going to tell.
Okay. All right. Because we were going to find out what part of him you licked.
Hey-o!
And also the Renaissance lady herself... actor, singer, writer, dancer, voiceover artist, and she plays the title role in the award-winning animated short, soon-to-be series, Dr. Mantis, insect analyst, Ms. Megan Simard.
Yeah, Megs.
All right, Megan.
But what we're really excited about tonight, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's because of our very special guest star, Mr. Tony Danza.
Tony Danza.
Woo!
Thank you very much.
You're very, very welcome. I mean, I just...
By the way, I saw a play last night, getting the band back together. One of the things is somebody come out and Mary Lou Henner comes out and gives people Rice Krispie Treats.
Really?
Yes. I don't believe it's coming. It's haunting me.
I don't know. That means something.
Yeah, I don't know.
That definitely means something.
It means that the... Well, anyway.
We just can't believe that you're here. I mean, I'm
so happy to be here.
Yeah, we're not as happy as us. I mean, we're all huge fans of episodes.
You try to slip that one in? What do you mean episodes? What are you talking
about?
He's so much fatter than me. Forget about it.
I'm sorry. I'm right. Matt LeBlanc. I'm sorry.
Are you kidding
sorry.
Me?
All right.
He wants to be me, but
of course. Who doesn't want to be you? When I grow up, I want to be you, Tony. But of course, we all know you from Taxi. You talking to me?
That's me.
You talking to me? I'm the only one standing here.
No, that's the wrong Taxi. It's the wrong Taxi.
What Taxi is that?
That's Robert De Niro. Taxi Driver.
See, I don't think it was Robert De Niro. Didn't you shave your head into a mohawk?
No, that's not me. See, no, I played a fighter on the series Taxi.
Okay. All right, so I get confused sometimes. I'm sorry. But you've done a bunch of movies.
Yeah.
A bunch of movies.
Yeah.
Saturday Night Fever, one of my all-time favorites.
Yes. No. Once again, Rob, I hate to tell you that that's John Travolta.
But you are a dancer.
I am, yes.
Right. Tap dancer.
Yeah.
How did you get started doing tap dancing?
When it's really, I always was a fan of those old movies with Gene Kelly and Fred Astaire and Bill Bojangles Robinson and Donald O'Connor and so on. And when we were doing Taxi, the last year of Taxi, we did a show called Fantasy Cab.
Oh, I remember that.
And
episode.
Everybody had a fantasy.
That was great.
My fantasy, by the way, my character's fantasy was to be smart. And really, you know what happened? The bit was I pick up Eric Severide, the great newsman. He gets into the car and we start having a conversation about the world's problems, and I have some very simplistic solutions to, you know, world hunger and so on. And he says to me, you know, I like your attitude. I think you'd be wonderful at this meeting I'm going to right now. I want you to come with me. I said, what is it? He said, it's the G-O-S-G meeting. I said, wow, what's that? He says, the gathering of smart guys. And so that was, but Mary Lou's, more importantly, getting back to what your question was, Mary Lou's fantasy was to be a Broadway star. Oh, right. And she came out of the locker up on the second floor in sequence and came down the stairs. And we all went around the post and appeared in Top Hat and Tails. It was very early special effects because this was 1983.
Oh, wow.
And so then we pretended to tap dance. And Mary Lou and Jeff Conaway, God rest, they could both do a little. But we would just pretend. And I was like, I got to learn how to do this. So I went and I found this guy, Pat Rico. Of course, I found an Italian tap dance teacher. And I've been studying ever since.
How does a man get into cheese?
My friend Cha-Cha. Now, you know, world-famous Cha-Cha. Unfortunately, we lost him a couple of years now. But Cha-Cha, who was the mayor of Little Italy, he was the unofficial mayor of, or the official mayor of Little Italy. First time I ever saw Cha-Cha, I was fighting here in New York. I was a club fighter, and I had three fights. I was at the time 1-2. You heard a guy's 35-0. I'm 1-2. Okay.
Yeah, but you eventually were 9-3.
Actually, I went 12-3.
Okay.
With 12 knockouts. But anyway.
Okay.
Just what
update
happened,
your Wikipedia page.
Because my trainer was a guy named Chicky Ferrara. He was one of the great old trainers. And he didn't care about your mental state. He's the kind of guy who would walk into the dressing room. You're down there getting ready to go on a fight. You're trying not to be nervous. You're real nervous. He walks in and says, "Hey, you better get ready quick. The two guys in here now are bleeding like pigs." So they weren't really thinking about your attitude.
I want to ask you about Burt Reynolds because you were in Cannonball Run.
Let me tell you something, Rob. You get a chance to do a Burt Reynolds movie when he's at the top of it. It was so much fun. And everybody in the world was in it.
I know. He got amazing cast. Everybody
was in it. Frank Sinatra showed up. Yeah. He helicoptered in for one day of shooting. It was amazing. Wow. I mean, it was crazy. That's when I first met Sinatra. I woke up to see
him. That's right.
Yeah, so Sinatra's on the picture. It's 1981. And I got my son with me. right?
Right.
I got my son. He's like 9 or 10. And we had just seen Sinatra at the Greek with Buddy Rich.
Oh, wow.
And Sinatra, and so my son is like a 10-year-old Sinatraophile. This is, you know, he, because, you know, he's got me as his father. Anyway, you know what I did? I brought my son over.
Uh-huh.
And my son says to him that he had just seen his concert. And he described a moment in the concert where Sinatra took over the conducting.
Uh-huh.
And then he did it, and then he turned around and looked at the audience, and everybody broke into applause. And my son remembered that and says that to Sinatra. He says, you know what part I liked? When you were leading the band, and then you turned around and said... And Sinatra cannot believe... I mean, it was weird. He's, this 10-year-old is explaining his concert to him, and he just goes down and reaches around him, and he just swallows him up in a hug. And I got a picture and everything. I was like, oh, my God. All right. So the end of the day comes. This was the best part. The end of the day comes. Everybody's in line. So you got Dom DeLuise, Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., everybody from Jamie Farr to Mel Tillis.
Mel Tillis.
I mean, everybody. Okay. We're all in a line. We're going to get a picture. There's all these millions of paparazzi. Take a picture. And me and my son were fooling around with photography. This is when I was our photography jail. We had bought a Nikon camera. And I said to him, get a picture. If you get the picture, get the picture. So now they all get together. Everybody starts taking a picture. And he's juggling the camera. I'm saying, well, get up, bring the picture. So they stop. And it starts to break up. And Sinatra sees him. And he says, oh, wait a minute. Come back. And everybody looks around, and they all get back in line, and he says, go ahead, Mark, take the picture.
Oh, wow.
You got the picture, Mark? Okay, I got it. Wow. It was amazing. It was really something.
Hey, kid, here's $20. Make sure I don't run out of ice. Going to do a lot with Tony tonight. We're going to do a couple sketches with us. We got more stuff to talk about. He's got a new series coming out September 21st, just a mere 6 days from tonight, called The Good Cop for Netflix. And
and that ain't me. I ain't the good cop.
No, it's which is why it's going to be a good show. But we want to welcome a new sponsor.
I'm 73 and been divorced for 10 years. I'm lonely. But it's been a very long time since I've been out on the dating scene. I wouldn't know what to do.
I'm 86 years old. I lost my husband back in June, and I miss the companionship of a man. But I don't want to put my profile up on those dating sites like eHarmony or Match.com. My face looks like it's made out of corduroy. I wouldn't want to embarrass my 64-year-old daughter.
I don't want a long-term relationship, obviously. At this age, I don't even buy green bananas. I'm just looking for a woman. I don't care if we have anything in common. I'm not interested in small talk. I want to get laid.
Introducing Carbon Dating, the first dating site for octogenarians and above. Just because there's snow on the roof doesn't mean there isn't a fire in the furnace.
I don't want to go through some kind of matchmaking service to find some guy who will only make me as miserable as my late husband did. I'm 89 years old, and I have needs. But my body has more wrinkles on it than an elephant's ass. My bra size used to be a 34C. Now it's a 36 long.
I want a man who can still get it up. Long enough for me to yell bingo without having a heart attack on top of me.
Carbon Dating. We're not like any other dating site. We don't bog you down with long questionnaires designed to assess compatibility. We set you up with someone who is somewhere around the same age as you and is willing to have casual, non-committal sex. We put you in a comprehensive database of men and women ages 80 and older. Then, using our convenient app, just scroll through a list of eligible matches. Just swipe with your finger.
What? Wipe with my finger? I don't wipe with my finger. That's disgusting.
Just find someone you like and send them a message and see if you can make a date.
I don't want a date. I just want to get laid.
It won't be long before you'll be banging like a screen door in a thunderstorm. You'll be humping so hard, you might even break a hip.
I miss the free love movement of the 60s, even more now that I'm in my 80s. But now, getting off means that my bus has reached the station.
No courting, no relationships. Let's face it, at your age, you don't have a lot of time to spend getting to know each other. It's just wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, with no strings attached.
Easy for you to say. My nuts is hanging so low, I have to put tube socks on them.
Carbon dating. It's like friends with benefits, except you don't have to be friends. You're just using each other to satisfy your own basic primal physical needs.
I want to get laid.
Me too. I'm Francis.
I'm Ed.
You ready to do this?
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, I got a handful of Viagra, and pretty soon I'll have a Woody I could cut glass with. Just let me take my truss off.
No problem. It'll take me a while to get out of this girdle.
It's the ultimate one-night stand. Because, let's face it, you might only have one night left, and you both want the same thing. Sign up now and get 3 free messages. And before you know it, you'll be tapping that ass so hard tonight, you'll wake up with a smile on your face tomorrow. That is, if you wake up at all.
Good morning, Francis. Thanks for last night. I'm gonna go now. Francis? Francis? Francis! Francis, Francis, are you... Oh, wow. I must have really been good.
Carbon dating. Make love like there's no tomorrow. Because there might not actually be one for you. Wow.
Well,
wow, that is that is specific.
Exciting. Yeah,
that's filling a social void, huh?
Yeah, there's a lid for every pot, I guess.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and now that I have an indelible image in my mind of my grandparents having sex, I just threw up a little in my mouth. So it's time to take a break. Don't forget, boys and girls, I'll be at Catch a Rising Star in Forked River, New Jersey, Saturday night, September 29th. Go to catcharisingstar.com for tickets. And on October 27th, I'm back at the Seven Angels Theater in Waterbury, Connecticut. Go to sevenangelstheater.org. And they spell theater in that really snooty British way with an R-E. We'll be back with more of the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour with our special guest, Mr. Tony Danza. He'll be here with us all night.
Yeah.
Stay with us here on 77 WABC. Welcome back to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. I am Rob Bartlett, and this is my Radio Comedy Hour. It's an hour. Remember, it's an hour. Remember, if you miss any part of tonight's show, want to listen again with your friends or download it so you have it to amuse yourself on the train or in the car on the way to work on Monday, just go to ogpodcastnetwork.com, and all the past episodes of the Radio Hour are there, all 12 of them, including this one, right after the show is over tonight. Be waiting for you. And at that website, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher, so that way you'll never miss an episode of the show. Tony Danza, our good friend Tony Danza, is with us tonight.
Yeah.
And we're just having a blast here in the studio. We've done some movies, you know, but you did some Broadway stuff,
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, I mean, you were in, like, real plays.
Wait a minute. I played. Not only was I was in A View from the Bridge when Arthur Miller was alive.
Oh.
So I got to work with him.
Wow.
That was crazy.
Did he have any Marilyn Monroe stories?
I just couldn't bring myself to ask.
that would have been me. I just looked like, was she really that good?
And then you know what else I did that I'm really proud of? I was Max Bialystock.
Wow.
In The Producers on Broadway.
Yeah, well.
Now, listen, I played the heavyset Jewish guy.
Rub it in.
Who says I have no range?
Rub it
I want to know.
Rub it in, Danza. Just rub it in. So I would have killed my mother.
For that part. That part. Let me tell you, that part. You want to play a part on Broadway. Play Max, man. Wow.
I mean, it's
just a backstage choreography. More than you can deal with. It's so crazy.
No, I know. It's a bear. It's a bear. But just to be able to say, I used to have 15 hit shows on Broadway, and now I'm wearing a cardboard belt. That's my favorite line of all time. That's a movie that should not be remade. You can make it into a Broadway show, but The Producers is definitely a movie you should not remake.
because it's just, it's a class. That's why they don't remake Wizard of Oz or Casablanca.
You know, they did that. They did remake it.
But the play.
The play.
No, I'm just saying the original movie. You can't remake it. I mean, actually, I don't even count that because it was a movie of the musical play.
Yeah.
So I had a disturbing moment the other day. I read where they're in pre-production for Expendables 4 and Rambo 5. you know, I don't think it should be sequels either. I mean, but Sly Stallone apparently thinks that sequels are where it's at. He's, you know, he's just going to make sequels from now on, which I guess isn't that bad of an idea if you think about it. I mean, you know, stick with what works.
Well, not only that, but, you know, you like the Rocky character that he created. I mean, don't get me wrong. Sly is Sly, but the Rocky character he created is, I mean, it's... That's an institution.
I mean, but you don't want to be in an institution when you're still doing the part. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I get your point.
He's got Creed 2. It's coming out in November. Yeah. That's based on the concept that Rocky's too old to fight, and he trains Apollo Creed's kid, and Apollo Creed's kid is going to fight Drago's kid, and, you know, the original idea from the original movie in 1976 was the impossible scenario. This is unknown boxer gets a shot to fight the heavyweight champion of the world. Well, it got me thinking, what if Stallone decides to do the ultimate impossible scenario? He decides to step in the ring himself again for one last fight. Because you know and I know, one of these days, there's going to be a Rocky IX. Adrian's dead, but he'll have a live-in aide, whose name is also Adrian. And Mickey will be in his corner again, except it's Mickey's daughter. I can see the trailer now.
I like the diversity.
Adrian! Yo, Adrian, where's my Metamucil?
It's over on the dresser next to y'all depends.
Sylvester Stallone returns one last time to the role that made him a Hollywood superstar.
You can't do it, Rock. You're 72 years old. It'll be a massacre. He'll ruin ya.
I gotta do it, Mickey, for the franchise. People want to see the Italian Stallion again.
Stallion? Or scallion? You smell like onions. What is that? Is that a thing with old people?
Rocky Balboa, the Italian Stallion, stepping into the ring one final time against Tony the Pile Driver Banta.
You mean the taxi driver?
I used to be a taxi driver, but I'll run you over like a checker cab.
Adrian! Adrian! Yo, Adrian, where are my compression stockings? I gotta do road work.
Two old-timers going for the glory one more time.
They're saying that this is going to be the fight of the century.
If you mean century, because like Rocky's 100 years old, then yeah.
I'm old. You can't make a decent bowel movement, much less a fist.
What can we expect in this fight? Is it going to be any different than the fights you've both had before?
Well, you know, this time they're going to have to build a ramp so Rocky can get his wheelchair up to the ring.
Rocky Balboa, training for the fight of his life.
What are you going to do, Rock? Run up them steps again? You never get up them steps, unless you're in a chairlift. You're going to punch meat like last time? You can't even chew meat anymore.
The stakes have never been higher.
I gotta say, you got balls, Balboa. What are they? The tennis balls there on the back legs of your walker?
Yeah, you got balls too, Banta, but the hang is so low. You better be careful you don't trip over them in the ring.
Two 70s boxing icons in the ring for the very first time.
When the bell rings, I don't know if I should hit you with a solid right or help you off your stool. Maybe you should wear one of them Med Alert necklaces in case you fall and you can't get up.
Tiffany Haddish is Adrian, Rocky's live-in nurse.
You know, Rock, you gotta stop walking around all hunched over.
It's my boxing stairs.
I think it's your osteoporosis.
Scarlett Johansson is Mickey's daughter, Mickey.
You'll knock your teeth out, Rock!
They're already out, Mick. Hear that glass over there.
Tony Danza is Tony Banta.
Get ready for some elder abuse, old man. I hope you're on Medicare, because you're gonna need it.
Rocky's back, and he's fighting mad.
Remember, Rock, when Mickey tells you to stay down till 8, it don't mean you gotta wait till 8 o'clock. Remember, hey, do you remember your name?
Yeah, we got a bout coming up, I remember that.
The only bout you got coming up is a bout of the shingles.
Rocky IX, the final chapter. Really, we swear, the last one. Absolutely, I mean, we promise,
We're done. We're not making any more.
Look, kid, why don't we just move around a little bit, give them all a good show? We'll make it look good. I'll kiss you, you kiss me, you know, go easy.
Yeah? How's that for a kiss? You like that?
Not the face. Not in the face. I just got Botox.
Rocky IX, coming to a theater near you.
How's that, Grandpa? Come on, hit back.
Not in the face. I start shooting Expendables 4 next month.
Life imitating art. Or art imitating life. Who's to say? But you know what that is? That's precision. That's craft. You know, Rocky IX won't be the last one. There's going to be a Rocky X when Stallone dies in the ring of natural causes. I promise you. I also promise you, you'll have some big-time laughs at Catch a Rising Star in Forked River, New Jersey later this month, September 29th, and then next month, October 27th in Waterbury, Connecticut. For ticket info on both these shows, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com, Robbio Radio. Don't go away. We'll be back with more of our special guest star, Tony Danza, with something really, really special right here on 77 WABC. Welcome back to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. This week, our special guest is Mr. Tony Danza.
Yeah!
He's here with us all night. It's an extravaganza.
Yeah!
Extravaganza?
That's right. It's a Danza extravaganza. It's an extravaganza. Tony's getting into costume for our next sketch.
So method.
He really is method. Really method. It's radio, and he's getting into costume. It's part of one of our regular segments we have here in the Radio Hour, the little reality series parody we do. It's a takeoff of a cross between that NPR podcast Serial, where they followed the murder case for 13 weeks, and Dateline, where Keith Morrison narrates these horrifyingly violent murder cases like he's reading a children's book. our version is called Death Can Kill, and this one takes place in Las Vegas at an Elvis impersonator convention. Wow. Now, when we're doing research for this, we realize that Elvis can be different things to different people. Some people relate to the young rebel Elvis, you know, the one that first came out, you know, that's All Right Mama. And then some, the black denim jacket, jailhouse rock Elvis.
Yeah.
Comeback Elvis.
The comeback Elvis, right. That black leather jacket and pants from the 68 comeback special. Which one, I mean.
Didn't Rosie O'Donnell play Elvis once? I like that one.
No, Mandy, that wasn't Rosie O'Donnell. That actually was Elvis. That's what we like to refer to as the fat jumpsuit sweating like a nun at a cucumber farm Elvis. That's what we like to call that era of Elvis. This is Death Can Kill, Deader Than Elvis. Last week on Death Can Kill, we learned that no fewer than 4 Elvis impersonators had suddenly been murdered at a Las Vegas Elvis impersonator convention. Definitely not a good sign for this jumpsuit summit. The police had no suspects, and the few witnesses who'd come forward could only describe a person who possibly may have resembled Elvis. Not a lot of help at a convention of 500 Presley impersonators. Retired Detective Edie Bexon of the Lodi, New Jersey Police Force, on vacation in Las Vegas, found herself back on the job.
With no leads in the case, I was desperate, grasping at straws. Kind of like Elvis looked when he was doing those karate moves on stage, only thinner. I called in a favor from an old friend from Jersey who was now the chief of the downtown Vegas precinct, and he let me sit in on the lineup of suspects. It proved nothing. But one of those clowns was a killer, and I wasn't talking about Jerry Lee Lewis impersonator.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire! Lady!
The convention was extended in order to keep all the impersonators in town. No Elvises had left the building, which only encouraged the killer. Then, as if the story couldn't possibly get any weirder, another wrinkle in the case presented itself. Marrakesh Casino Hospitality Director Connie Chambers explains.
The Elvis people were fit to be tied. Oh, we do that on occasion, but only if the guest asks for it. but some of the impersonators wanted to honor the victims of the murders, pay tribute. So they decided to impersonate them. Overnight, the hotel was crawling with not only Elvis impersonators, but Elvis impersonator impersonators. It was very confusing.
The murders had shaken the Elvis tribute community to its very core. They all feared for their lives. Even the seasoned faux Elvi, like the Brooklyn L.
I took my name after the old elevated Fifth Avenue Bay Ridge subway line. I was having a great time at the convention. I was lucky enough to book one of the theme rooms the Marrakesh had available. It was a recreation of the jungle room at Graceland, including the green shag carpeting on the ceiling. All I needed was a couple of Playboy bunnies, a few goats, and a can of WD-40, and it would have been a traditional Memphis Saturday night. I really felt like the spirit of the king was in the room with me, but I was still all shook up about what was going on. I ordered some room service to help take my mind off everything. 5 fried peanut butter and banana sandwiches, 3 pounds of barbecue brisket, 18 dozen cocktail shrimp, 12 buckets of fried chicken, a tub of Rocky Road, 2/5 of Old Crow, and a side of gravy fries. It was Elvis's favorite breakfast.
But the Brooklyn L soon found out that even he wasn't immune from the Elvisides.
About 20 minutes later, there's a knock at the door. There's a guy dressed like Elvis with the service cart. He falls into the room, and he's got a knife in his back. I didn't know what to do, so I called room service back to tell them he was dead, and also that they forgot to send the gravy fries. The cops showed up 10 minutes later, and they weren't all that happy that I had taken the knife out of the dead dude's back to cut the peanut butter banana sandwiches, but room service forgot to bring that, too.
But in the middle of all the intrigue, romance blossomed. Brooklyn L. found comfort in the arms of Manila Silla, a Filipino Priscilla Presley impersonator. His room was sealed off as a crime scene, so they went back to hers.
In the Philippines, you have to wait 4 or 5 weeks before you poke the piggy pie. But he's so sexy, I say okay.
So we were getting it on in her room, and all of a sudden, I swear, I hear a car horn coming from the room next door. I mean, loud. It's honking. Then I hear a skid, and then a huge thud. It shook the room so hard, we fell out of bed. I ran out into the hallway, and this little guy in a top hat and sunglasses runs past me to the elevator. The suite was open. I look inside, and there's one of the Elvises I'd seen at the show the night before, El Dorado, whose act consisted only of songs Elvis did from Spin Out, Speedway, and Viva Las Vegas, all movies where he played a race car driver. And there he was, in bed, dead. He'd been run over in his hotel room by a 1955 pink Cadillac Fleetwood.
The case was now just a jumble of questions. Who was this mysterious top-hatted figure in the sunglasses? But most of all, how the hell did the killer get a whole 1955 Cadillac Fleetwood up in the elevator to run over El Dorado Elvis? Tune in next time to find out the identity of the Elvis impersonator serial killer when we hear the Brooklyn L say,
"What if the real Elvis is still alive? I wonder if he'd still be fat."
So, Brooklyn, huh? I'm from Jersey. Listen, I'm out here on vacation. You want to grab a drink or something?
Sorry, but I'm spoken for, ma'am.
Oh, of course. Forgive me. But here's my card. I make a killer fried peanut butter and banana sandwich.
The plot is getting thicker than the gravy on the fries the room service guy forgot to bring. By the way, if it were my room service order and he forgot to bring the gravy fries, I would have stabbed him. Don't forget, I'm back on the road doing stand-up at Seven Angels Theater October 27th, a Halloween show. I'll be in costume. I'll be naked on a pair of roller skates. I'm going to go as a pull toy this year. Megan, you want to, like, run around the room and try to explain it to everybody else? Go to sevenangelstheater.org for tickets. They spell theater in that pretentious way with the R-E instead of the E-R. But when you get to thinking about it, that's not any more pretentious than naming your town, Forked River, which is where I'll be on September 29th, a mere 2 weeks from today at Catch a Rising Star.
Forked.
Go to CatchARisingStar.com for tickets. And they spell star with just one R, by the way, Catch a Rising Star. We'll be back after this short break with more of our special guest star, Tony Danza.
Yo.
Right here on the Rob Bauer Radio Comedy Hour on 77 WABC. Welcome back to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. I am Rob Bartlett, and this is my Radio Comedy Hour. And this is my friend Tony Danza, who's been with us all during the show.
Rob, how
I can't,
are you?
I can't thank you enough for coming. This has been
my
great.
Pleasure.
This has been just a blast, and you've been very gracious and very, very funny, and joining in with the sketches and stuff with us. It's great. And I am impressing my cast because now they know that I know real famous celebrities. So now you've made my stock go up just like a little
boy.
Bit. So that
boy.
Makes it. But, you know, I think one of the things that you and I share is we both have a love of music. I mean, I don't love all music. Like, I like the new Paul McCartney album. I'm not, you know, but
he put on a thing at the Grand Central.
I know, I saw that in Grand Central, and unfortunately,
but they did all Beatles songs.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
As long as he didn't songs from the new album, which is, you know, there are some musical instruments I just can't stand, like accordion.
Oh.
You know, I mean, any instrument where you can depict it with a monkey, you know, when there's a monkey involved, just doesn't. And who, by the way, you know, when you learn guitar when you were a kid, and you're coming up and you're thinking, well, I'm going to learn guitar so I can, like, impress girls. You know, what kid is going, hey.
I got the kid.
I got an accordion.
I got the kid.
I got an accordion.
I'm not kidding you. One of my best friends, a 50-year friend. I got a 50-year friend. His name is Bobby Guvinelli, and he plays the accordion. First time I saw him, he was singing to the girls in their dormitory, and they were all hanging out.
He got girls with an accordion?
He got girls with an accordion.
I tell you what instrument he wouldn't get. Bagpipes. Bagpipes,
no,
you're not going to get girls. You're not going to get girls. I mean, who thinks a bag? I mean, bagpipes is what, when you want to hear the sound of a goat dying of COPD? I mean, it doesn't. they take a ram's bladder, they shove a few sticks in it, and then. You know who invents it? Same people who invented haggis. That's the problem.
Yeah,
the same thing.
Is that Paul Haggis?
Huh? No,
I'm sorry.
Haggis is that thing where they take a ram's bladder and they stick oatmeal and they cut up.
Enough information.
Well, yeah, I just okay. It's kind of like gabutsel.
Gabutsel. Why did you say that?
Recorder is another one I really hate. I don't know about you guys. You play the recorder? Any of you guys play the recorder?
I did in third grade.
You did. That's what I'm saying. That's right. That's the recorder is not quite as pleasing as like the whistle you get out of a Cracker Jack box. You know, I mean, we've all been to that recital, that third grade recital. There's just so many times you can hear Greensleeves being butchered by a bunch of 8-year-olds. You know. I used to hate the ukulele, but then I took a home course, the Don Ho method, and you make a pitcher of pina coladas, and by the time you finish the pitcher, you know how to play the ukulele. So, hang on. Well, it's tuned. So something in the way she moves attract me.
Listen, don't get me wrong. You're doing wonderfully. I like the idea of trying to adapt that kind of song to the ukulele. See, that's what I try to do.
Uh-huh.
You know, because you can do you can do Hawaiian. You know, you can do that from the land of sand and sea. I brought home a memory. You know, you could do that.
Uh-huh,
or you could
do
standards, you know, your ukulele standards.
Right.
5'2", eyes blue. Oh, what those blue eyes could do. Anybody seen my girl? You know, you could do that. You could adapt the American songbook to it.
Well, hang on. I want to do something with my ukulele first.
Go ahead. Okay. Yeah. So I try to do is try to adapt the American songbook to it. Like for instance, I was fooling around with this the other day. What a difference a day makes. 24 little hours. Brought the sun and the flowers where there used to be rain. My yesterday was blue, dear. Now I'm so part of you, dear. My lonely nights are through, dear. Since you said you were mine. What a difference.
No, that's great. Play a whole song. Whatever song you want, you play.
Okay. This is a little bit more rambunctious.
Okay.
When we played our charade, we were like children posing, playing at games, laughing at names, guessing the parts we play. Oh, what a head we made. We went on next to closing, best on the bill, lovers until love left a masquerade. They seemed to pull the strings I turned, and you were gone, gone, while on the darkened wing the music box played on. Sad little serenade, song of my heart's composing. I hear it still, I always will, just on the bill, charade.
Yes!
Now that is how to close a show, boys and girls. A killer ending for us on this fine Saturday night.
Thank you
and
for
thanks,
having me.
All thanks to Mr. Tony Danza, the multi-talented actor, singer, song and dance man. Your song and dance act is called
Standards and Stories.
Right.
And in fact, I'm in St. Joseph's, Missouri, the 14th.
Okay.
The 15th, I'm in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And the 16th, I'm in St. Charles, Illinois.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, I'll be at Catch a Rising Star in Forked River, New Jersey. Saturday night, September 29th, and then October 27th, the Seven Angels Theater in Waterbury, Connecticut. You can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/RobbieO Radio, for ticket info. Don't forget, September 21st,
The Good Cop
on Netflix.
Yes.
Our program is produced by Gary Grant and me, Rob Bartlett, written by Andrew Smith and me, Rob Bartlett, featuring Megan Samard, Andrew Smith, Mandy Lee Thompson, Steve Mecca, Whitney Johnson, and me, Rob Bartlett.
Yeah.
Original music composed by Gary Grant, Steve Mecca, and me. Just Gary and Steve. I don't do anything with that. Recording and engineering by Steve Mecca. Directed by Gary Grant. No animals were harmed in the recording of this program. We'll see y'all next week, everybody, when our special guest will be Miss Judy Gold. And then in 2 weeks, we have the great Mr. Michael Urie will be our special guest. Tune in next Saturday for another episode of the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour right here on 77 WABC.